Intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Joanna LaForgia from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting content from the May 2025 issue of Southern Living magazine. This week, we'll hear the Southern Living Journal, which is on the back page of every magazine. And then we'll get to some very easy dinner recipes. All right? Ready? The cover of this magazine is it's fully described in our 5-2 May 2nd podcast, which you can find on our website. But recall, listeners, that it is still under Triangle Bulletin Board. Under Specials, Triangle Bulletin Board, then you'll see our Southern Living magazine podcast. And in the 5-2, we fully describe the front cover of this magazine. But briefly, it's a two-story white house, clapboard mostly with some white brick, and a big, tall, I think it's an oak tree, but I'm not sure, very tall tree that's higher than the house in the front. And some white hydrangeas in the garden, green grass, and two little small dogs in the front that are white with black and brown markings. So it's mostly, the tones are mostly spring green, since it is the May issue. Okay, and on the back of every issue, the back page, we have The Southern Journal by Rick Bragg. And this essay is called Snakes in the Dark. Sometimes it's best to leave the tough jobs to the experts. And listeners, there's a picture that takes about a quarter of the page here, and it's a cartoon drawing, and it is in color. It has, these look like, yes, they are a couple of, in the background, a couple of copperhead snakes. And we can see that because they're light brown. They look like a cafe au lait color in the background, and in the foreground, more of a burnt orangey kind of sunset colored diamond pattern. And of course, this is just an approximation. It's a caricature, of course. But that's what they are. They're in the trees, and Rick Bragg is in the foreground, a cartoon of our writer, Rick Bragg, and he has a hapless look on his face, he's in the water. He's standing in a swamp. All right, the swamp has trees, and they appear to be flowering trees. They appear to be magnolias, which I do not think grow in swamps, but that's what these appear to be. Okay, so there are some roots that are exposed in the trees, and the water is muddy, but it's a green-colored mud. It's a spring green mixed with coffee-colored water there. Okay, so Rick Bragg has his jeans rolled up to his knees, and the water is up to his mid-calf. He's wearing a brown shirt with sleeves rolled up a little bit past his wrists. His hair is wet. He's got this kind of half bemused, half confused look on his face. And he has a snake tail is looped over the top of his head. And that snake tail is attached to a snake that wraps around the tree in the background, and the head of the snake comes up just beside Rick Bragg to look at him. And he's looking at him, and he's about waist high, the snake's head. And then Rick is holding another snake by its neck, something that's not advisable to do unless you're an expert on snakes. But Rick Bragg is holding this snake by its head, another snake, on the other side, and he is attempting to put it into a white bag that he's holding with his other hand. And there are also some green swamp grasses spring green mixed with moss green. So it's light and dark grasses there in the foreground. And a little bit of sun-colored, like orange-colored, warm-colored, warm colors in the foreground on the rocks. Okay, well, start our essay, Snakes in the Dark. Sometimes it's best to leave the tough jobs to the experts. And this is by Rick Bragg, B-R-A-G-G. I don't watch much reality TV. I believe you can directly relate how dumb you are to the number of hours you spend seeing people behave badly on television and on the internet. I have always wondered what would happen if some alien race intercepted these shows and thought this was how humanity was. I imagine they would flee for home after just a few minutes of 90 Day Fiancé, Love After Lockup, or any of those cooking contests designed to make folks cry. But nothing baffles me more than the programs in which people wearing headlamps and cut-off overalls wade into the Florida Everglades in the dead of night to, as near as I can tell, get bitten in the face by snakes as big as telephone poles. That, and to shout, woo-hoo, a lot. I'm not saying this isn't a noble endeavor. For decades, invasive pythons have decimated the natural wildlife of the Everglades. I remember the glades before this began, the undulating rivers of grass, swamp, and hammock that hid black bears, raccoons, deer, majestic wading birds, and Florida panthers. I used to fish there. I saw one of those big cats among the last of its kind in the low limbs of a tree. And then the pythons arrived, probably blown there by Hurricane Andrew from some exotic pet clearinghouse in Miami, or set loose by some stupid people who were surprised that their snakes grew large enough to eat their cats. These creatures spread, till one day the Everglades more closely resembled an ecological graveyard picked almost clean by a thing that never should have been there in the first place. So, of course, reality TV was close behind. Intrepid men and women, trailed by film crews, thrashed through the desolation, searching for great serpents and armed with sacks. Just sacks. I understand there's a bounty on these reptiles, but somehow I bet it pays a little less than the TV money. I'm not entirely certain of this. I just know that the price it would take for me to do it I just know the price it would take for me to do it, and that involves a whole lot of zeros and perhaps a jet ski. The hunters deftly shove their hands into holes in the ground and stick their faces up to hollow logs to catch them, usually avoiding their needle-like teeth. They say, woo-hoo, and gesticulate, but capture a few, very few. The snakes are winning, I think. And I think it's because the wrong type of redneck is getting recruited for the job. The pythons are not released later to live out their happy lives on a farm. They are a pestilence that has altered the natural world. So why spend so much time trying to take them alive? I guess because it makes for better TV. My way would not be so good for rattlings. Excuse me, listeners, let me try that again. My way would not be so good for ratings. I would load up about 100 swamp buggies, airboats, and Dodge power wagons with as many Alabama rednecks as they could hold and arm each one with a .22 rifle, a flashlight, and some Ho-Ho snack cakes. Shoot on sight and then move on, I'd tell them. No producers, no woo-hoos, just some old boys who actually know how to kill a snake. And maybe, someday, when it's all over, the wild things that are native to the Everglades would return. There is a slim chance that the right type of rednecks might also wound each other. This can happen in the slippery dark. But I have that all worked out. Anybody who gets shot will receive extra ho-hos and get to be on TV. And that's our Southern Journal for May. And now we'll move on to our supper time feature, the kitchen. Southern cooking at its best. And this is entitled Simply Delicious, 4 low-effort dinners that practically cook themselves. And it begins with a full-page photo. The background is a robin's egg blue tablecloth. And it has also in the background and bleeding off either side of the page are some dishes with some, it appears to be pasta salads in them. And there is in the foreground, and what dominates the photo is a huge plate of eggshell white, and it has 5 skewers of barbecued chicken, it appears, chicken with jalapeno peppers that are green jalapeno peppers and red onions that are that red purplish kind of wine color red onions that are, those are the 3 things on these alternating on these 5 skewers that appear as though they've just come off the barbecue. And also beside that plate is a small white plate of chopped parsley or chives. I think it's parsley. And we will see momentarily when we read our recipes. And there's also a white with blue graph lines, blue lines to form squares, navy blue lines that form boxes on the white table. It appears to be a dish rack on the table. And it says Mississippi chicken kebabs. That's what they are on page 96, and we're just about to read that. Okay. To start, got a few recipes here. And this is, Mississippi chicken kebabs. This is the recipe for the photo we just looked at. Okay. Inspired by our reader favorite Mississippi pot roast. These 6 ingredient skewers are great for cookouts or weeknight dinners. The active time is 30 minutes and the total cooking time is 1 hour and it serves 6. Here are the ingredients. 2 1-ounce envelopes of ranch dressing mix. 2 1-ounce envelopes of au jus gravy mix such as Knorr, K-N-O-R-R. 1 16-ounce jar of whole pepperoncini. 1 16-ounce jar of whole pepperoncini peppers, divided. I call them jalapeno listeners, but they're pepperoncini peppers. Okay, and 1/2 cup of canola oil, divided, plus more for grill grates. 3 3/4 of a pound of boneless, skinless chicken breasts, cut into 1 1/2-inch cubes. 2 red onions, cut into 1 1/2-inch pieces, and 12 10-inch skewers, and chopped parsley for garnish. And here are the steps, and there are just 3. 1, stir together the ranch dressing mix, the gravy mix, 1/4 cup of the pepperoncini brine, and 1/4 cup of oil in a large bowl. Add chicken pieces and toss to coat. Cover and let stand at room temperature for 30 minutes. Step 2. Meanwhile, preheat the grill to medium-high, 400 to 450 degrees Fahrenheit. Thread the chicken, pepperoncini peppers, and onion pieces onto skewers. Drizzle with remaining quarter of a cup of oil. And step three, the last step, place the kebabs on oiled grates. Grill covered, turning every 2 minutes until a thermometer inserted into the chicken registers 165 Fahrenheit, and that's about 10 minutes total time. Garnish with chopped parsley. And our next recipe is pictured on this page. The picture takes about a quarter of the page, and it is farm stand pasta salad. And there's a picture of it. It's got fusilli, that curly pasta, fusilli pasta, and slices of zucchini, it appears to be, and onions, tomatoes. It's golden in tone. The entire thing is golden in tone. And it's on a white pasta bowl that has kind of a curve on one side. It kind of curves in on one side. Very stylish. And that sits upon a platter that's a teal blue. Or, no, that's a robin's egg blue. Yeah. Close enough to teal. And that all sits upon a tablecloth of white and royal blue, like a bit of a scattered spode print, if you know what that spode pattern is. A bit like that. But it's flowers, in any case. Scattered royal blue flowers. Tiny, tiny bouquets on there. And in the background, kind of leading off the picture, are some glasses of that same color, blue, to match. Okay, here is the recipe for farm stand pasta salad. Fresh herbs and warm weather vegetables shine in this adaptable recipe. The active time is 30 minutes and your total time is 40 minutes for this one. And this one serves 8. And the ingredients are 12 ounces of uncooked rotini or fusilli pasta, a third of a cup of fresh lemon juice from 2 lemons, a third of a cup of extra virgin olive oil, 2 teaspoons honey, 2 teaspoons kosher salt plus more for pasta water, 1 teaspoon Dijon mustard, a half a teaspoon black pepper, 2 zucchini or yellow squash sliced into 1/4 inch thick half moons, about 4 cups. 2 1/4 cups of fresh corn kernels from 3 ears. 1 pint of cherry tomatoes, halved. 1/2 cup thinly sliced red onion from 1 onion. And it is very thinly sliced, we can see in the picture, listeners. 1 8-ounce block of feta cheese cut into 1/2-inch cubes, about 2 cups. And 1/2 cup of chopped fresh mixed herbs such as chives, tarragon, and dill, plus more for garnish. And here are our steps. And there are 3 steps again. Step 1, cook the pasta in a large pot of boiling salted water according to package directions for al dente. Drain, rinse pasta under cold water until no longer hot, about 2 minutes. Let it cool to room temperature, about 10 minutes. Meanwhile, step 2, whisk together lemon juice, oil, honey, salt, mustard and pepper in a large bowl. Add zucchini, corn, tomatoes, and onion. Tossed coat. Let stand 10 minutes, tossing occasionally. Step 3. Add cooled pasta, feta, and herbs to vegetable mixture. Gently toss to combine. Garnish with additional herbs. Our next recipe is for blackened shrimp tacos. And we do have a photo of that. It's about almost a quarter page of blackened shrimp tacos. And that's sitting upon a white plate with some speckles of black on it. Again, it's on a robin's egg blue tablecloth, table covered with that tablecloth. And in the background, there's a white dish towel. And also bleeding off the photo in the background, in the foreground, bleeding off the photo are some cut lemons in a powder blue bowl, small powder blue bowl. The tacos sitting upon that white speckled plate. There are three big round tacos here, and they're open, and they are of a golden color, and they seem to be sprinkled with some pepper, and they consist of, they're open, and you can see that we have the shrimp that is a color of barbecue sauce, a red color of barbecue sauce, and the avocados, which also have a bit of that sauce on them, and they are both sitting upon a bed of coleslaw, which has some purple cabbage in it. Okay, and here's our recipe for blackened shrimp tacos with shortcut slaw. Already prepped shrimp and bagged coleslaw mix help this supper come together in under a half hour. The active time is 25 minutes, and that's the total time it takes to cook. Just 25 minutes, and it serves 8. Here are the ingredients. A half a cup of mayonnaise, a half a cup of rice vinegar, 2 tablespoons of granulated sugar, 3/4 of a teaspoon of kosher salt, 1 teaspoon of black pepper divided, 1 16-ounce package of coleslaw mix, about 6 cups, 3 tablespoons of Cajun seasoning, such as Emeril's, and that is spelled E, M as in Mary, E-R-I-L apostrophe S. That's Cajun seasoning. 2.5 pounds of large peeled and deveined raw shrimp, patted dry, tails removed. 3 tablespoons of canola oil divided. 16 6-inch corn tortillas warmed. And 2 avocados peeled and sliced. And some lemon wedges and hot sauce for serving. And the 3 steps are, 1, whisk together mayonnaise, vinegar, sugar, salt, and half a teaspoon of pepper in a medium bowl. Add the slaw mix and toss to coat. Set aside. Stir together Cajun seasoning and remaining half teaspoon of pepper in another medium bowl. Add shrimp. Toss to coat. Step 2. Heat in a large cast iron skillet over high until starting to smoke. And that's 3 to 5 minutes. Add 1 tablespoon of oil and about 1/3 of the shrimp. Cook undisturbed until shrimp have developed a dark brown crust, about 2 minutes. Cook, stirring occasionally, until shrimp are opaque and the crust darkens. 1 to 2 more minutes. Transfer to a plate. Repeat process with remaining oil and shrimp. Step 3. Divide slaw evenly among tortillas. Top with shrimp and avocado slices. Serve with lemon wedges and hot sauce. And our last easy, low-effort recipe here is for our easiest slow cooker barbecue sandwiches. And this is pictured on a blue, a royal blue plate, rustic blue plate with potato chips, and it's in a bun, a hamburger bun. And there are pickles and lettuce in it as well. And here it is, our easiest slow cooker barbecue sandwiches. Country-style pork ribs, cut from a Boston butt, get fall apart tender in less time than a large roast. The active time is just 15 minutes. The total time is 6 hours and 15 minutes. And this serves 8. Ingredients, 3 tablespoons light brown sugar, 1 tablespoon garlic powder, 1 tablespoon onion powder, 2.5 teaspoons kosher salt, 1.5 teaspoons black pepper, 1 teaspoon smoked paprika, 5 pounds bone-in or 3 to 4 pound boneless, country-style pork ribs, patted dry. 1 sweet onion, thinly sliced lengthwise, about 2.5 cups. 1 16-ounce bottle of barbecue sauce, divided. 8 hamburger buns, coleslaw, and dill pickle chips. Step 1. Stir together the light brown sugar, garlic powder, onion powder, kosher salt, black pepper, and smoked paprika in a small bowl. Rub all over ribs. Step 2. Preheat the grill to medium-high. That's 400 to 450 degrees Fahrenheit. Place ribs on oiled grates. Grill uncovered until lightly charred on all sides, about 2 minutes per side. Alternatively, preheat a cast iron skillet or grill pan over high. Cook ribs in batches until browned, 2 to 3 minutes per side. Step 3. Place onion in the bottom of a 6-quart slow cooker. Top with ribs. Drizzle with 1/2 cup of barbecue sauce. Cover and cook on low for 6 hours or high for about 3.5 hours until the meat shreds easily. Step 4. Use 2 forks to shred the ribs in slow cooker, discarding any bones. Stir pork together with onion and any residual juices in slow cooker. Drain and discard all but 1/2 cup of the juices. Stir in 1 cup of the barbecue sauce. And finally, step 5, serve the pulled pork on buns with coleslaw, dill pickle chips, and remaining barbecue sauce. And that's a wrap for our episode today and for the May issue of Southern Living Magazine. We hope you've enjoyed it and hope that you'll listen next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Remember, it's under Triangle Bulletin Board. And if you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Once more, that's 919-832-5138. So long until next time.